time now, 9:06.
It's time for the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. I'm Paul Ramel for Q92 Sports. This morning we will visit with area baseball coaches to see how their teams did this past week and what's on the schedule for this week. Now, the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show right here on Q92.
Good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramel here in the studio for another Baseball Coaches Show. What a beautiful Saturday morning. So far, no rain. That's good. All right, we're going to talk baseball, and we're going to open up the show talking baseball with Jared Royland. Jared's the manager of the Madison Junior Legion. He's kind enough to take some time here during his 4th of July vacation break, Jared. Thank you.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to be talking about anything besides baseball.
And you're doing it while you're on a vacation break, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
How'd your fourth go?
I had to get away from the kids for a while.
What's that?
I had to get away from the kids for a minute.
There you go. How'd your 4th of July go? And it's still going on, I assume?
Good, yeah. We had some time with some family and slow down a little bit and have a little bit of time off before we have the playoff push for Junior Legion and for the Mallards, so yep. We're getting recharged here.
That's right. Not only are you the manager for the Madison Junior Legion, but you also play on the Madison Mallards, so you and your family get quite a bit of baseball in during the summer.
Yeah, I think the ball field is my kids' second home summertime.
And they love it, I bet.
Yeah, they don't seem to mind too much.
All right. Jared, tell us a little bit about how the Madison Junior Legion baseball team did this past week.
Sure. So we started out last Saturday, late afternoon. We hosted Annandale. Dick Newman was really instrumental in getting this doubleheader set up with his son helps coach and his grandson's on the Junior Legion team down in Annandale. And so... we were looking for some more games to pick up this year, and they were gracious enough to come out and play a doubleheader with us. It was a back and forth kind of game. We gave them some runs early, but I was really happy with how our guys responded. You know, earlier in the year, we'd make a mistake and we'd kind of hang our head, and it'd be a tough road to climb from there. But two different times during that Annandale game, we were down 5 runs, and I challenged the guys to, you know, you can't change what happened last inning. All we can change is what happens this inning, and they responded really well with, like I said, in the second inning, we came up with 5 runs, and then I think it was again in the sixth inning, I believe, we were down 5 again, and they answered. We did end up dropping the game 14-13 to Annandale, but all up and down the lineup, we had contributions everywhere. I think basically everybody either contributed by scoring a run or having an RBI, and so seeing that kind of production 1 through 9, that was really good to see. And you know, getting these extra at bats is just it's hopefully going to pay dividends come postseason time. We also got to have a couple guys on the mound that haven't really gotten much time in this summer. We started with Nolan Smith, and he was solid, just like he usually is. But just because of the innings and how much we were playing, we went with a variety of guys. I brought in Leo Borsted, and he threw two and a third innings, and he threw strikes, and he kept us in the ball game. That's at this level, that's all you can ask for is just give our hitters a chance, you know, keep us within shooting distance, and he did that. And then we brought in Malcolm Lilliard. Same thing there. I think he just threw over two innings. And yeah, just like I said, same thing. Kept us in the ball game. Kept us close. And we had the bases loaded in the bottom of the seventh, and we were just one. We couldn't get that last major hit to put us over the top. But we were right there against a really good Annandale team. That's probably some of the best pitching and the best hitting we're going to see all year. And we played really well. And if we can play even close to that and clean up a little bit of the small errors here and there, I feel really good about our chances and what we can do come postseason time. It was a long game. I think it was about 3 hours long, but Annandale got their money's worth anyway.
That's a pretty good trip for them, isn't it?
Yeah. I think a decent amount of them did end up staying over, because it was late by the time we got done that night. But it was a fun day. So
okay, good.
All right. And then we came back with Camby on Tuesday. We had to make that game up from earlier in the year, We ended up dropping that game 3-1. The pitching was there. We threw really well. Gavin Meyer threw 5 2/3 innings. He only had one earned run and struck out six. We had a couple costly errors in the third inning that gave them a couple runs, and we just couldn't quite do enough at the plate. I think we. Kind of a common theme. We left too many guys on base again, and we unfortunately didn't put the ball in play enough. We had too many strikeouts. It makes it really easy for the defense when you just strike out instead of putting the ball in play. They have to field it, they have to throw it, and they have to catch it. So that's just a couple things that we need to work on. It's all self-inflicted stuff, you know, a couple errors here and there, and not putting the ball in play enough. And so once we get those couple things corrected, like I said, we'll be in good shape come postseason time. We just need to get there.
Okay. Yeah, during the course of the week, who played well for you then?
So we had, like I said, in that Annandale game, we had contributions up and down the lineup. I mean, everybody was helping out. I think we had Schomer again, Ethan, his brother. Brant Schomer he's kind of been our catalyst all year. In that Annandale game, he was 3 for 5. He had 4 RBIs and scored another 3 runs. And then Grant Bierke was 2 for 4. With an RBI and a run. Let's see, who else did we have? Gavin Meyer was 2 for 2 with 2 RBIs and 2 runs. Carter Moen, he's one of the eighth graders that we brought up, and he's really been doing a lot of good things at the plate for us. He was 2 for 4 with an RBI and a run. He's a nice younger guy to kind of a piece to the puzzle to add. And we had Jackson Fernals, who also is he's an eighth grader that we brought up. He was 2 for 4 with 2 RBIs in a run. So it was nice to get some of those young guys in and have good at bats and really help contribute to a good game overall. I mentioned it a little bit, but on Tuesday, we started with Gavin Meyer and he threw about as good a game as you could. He threw 5 2/3, and the only reason we had to pull him was because he hit his pitch count. He only gave up 2 hits, gave up 3 runs, but only 1 was earned, and then he struck out 6. And so if he can pitch like that, and he pitched through some adversity, he had some guys reach base, you know, that on some plays that our defense needs to make. But if he can pitch that well come postseason time too, there again, it's just another huge piece of the puzzle. And it's kind of sound like a broken record, but once we get all these things put together, we'll be pretty dangerous come postseason time.
All right, sounds good. What do you got? What's the Junior Legion team have coming up this week?
Yeah, so this week is our, it's hard to believe already, but it's our final week of the regular season. We start out the week on Tuesday. We host Bold at Madison Memorial Field, and that'll be a big game with some potential postseason implications. And so we're gonna try to get our boys up and ready and get going for that game. And we'd love to have a huge crowd down at the field watching our boys and keeping them going, because that, like I said, it'll be a big game for us and a good marker to see where we're at. So that'll be a fun night. That's a 6 o'clock start, and then Friday night, then we travel. In the season finale, we go over to Monty, and you know they're good every year. Coach Epema does a great job of coaching that team up, and there again, it'll be another marking spot just to see where we're at with some of the better teams in the league. So we got those two games left, and then we'll see how things shake out and where and when we're playing come postseason time.
Do you know when the first postseason game is after next week?
So it'll depend on the top or the 7 through 10 seeds. They play in a pigtail game, and those games be on the 19th, the Friday the 19th, and then but then the regular tournament gets started that following Tuesday the 23rd.
Okay, gotcha.
So
all right, Jared. Well, once again, thanks for taking time to be on the Coach's Show this morning, and good luck to the Madison Legion this week then.
Yeah, we'll be excited, and I just wanted to give a shout out too. I realized I didn't really get to mention him much last week, but I really appreciate all the help I get from my assistant Tony Smith. He's a great person to sounding board to bounce ideas off in the dugout, and I end up calling him a couple times a week. Hey Tony, what do you think about this? And it's really nice to have. He knows probably more about baseball than I do, and I don't think he gets enough credit for all the help he does, and he's in it even more than I am with having his son Nolan on that team, and hears more things and knows what's going on with players, and so it's a great asset to have, and I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that, because I'm glad I've got him by my side, because okay. I couldn't do it without him.
All right, that's for sure. All right, Jared, thank you, and we'll talk to you next Saturday then.
Yes, thank you, Paul.
Jared Roiland, manager of the Madison Junior Legion team, will take a commercial break, and we'll hear from Tyler Ottleman of the Rosen Express right after this.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher, premium sockeye salmon, $9.99 a pound, and tomahawk ribeye steaks 50% off while the supply lasts. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Come on over to Madison, Wednesday, July 10th, to Madison Memorial Baseball Field for Orlando Ducks League game between the Madison Mallards and the Dawson Drakes during Chamber Night at the ballpark. Free admission. That's Wednesday, July 10th, the Mallards and the Drake. First pitch, 7:30, and hear it right here on Q92. Shadowland Farms Trucking of Appleton offers custom trucking, lime application, and excavation. Call Brad Mitchell for more information at 320-297-0142. And Shadowland Farm Trucking is a proud sponsor of all Lacaparral Valley sports and activities.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show. We're going to travel over to Rosen and visit with manager Tyler Ottoman. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, how'd your 4th of July go?
A little wet, but not too bad. We're getting plenty of rain over by Rosen.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. I know that's a lot of people look forward to the annual 4th of July baseball game in Rosen, don't they? And you had to postpone.
Yeah. Yes, they do. We held on as long as we could, but when the heavens opened up pretty hard, we had to cancel or postpone it. So we just moved the game from Thursday on to tomorrow, Sunday at 2:30.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like I said, if you like small town amateur baseball, Rosen's the place to be, especially on the 4th of July. How long? Do you know how long that's been going on the 4th of July in Rosen?
I know I talked to Tom Rademacher about that, but I'm pretty sometime in the 70s it started. Between that and 2:30 games, sometime in the 70s, 2:30 in Rosen and the 4th of July Memorial Day has been a thing.
Okay.
So it's been going on a lot longer, and I decided I don't want to be the one that stopped it. So.
Yeah, that would be good. So,
yep.
All right. Well, boy, last weekend was a big weekend in Rosen, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was our annual Busch Light Invite Tournament that we host every year at the end of June. Six teams. And Rosen ended up going 1-2 on the weekend and taking fifth place overall.
Okay.
Couple other teams that were in were Regal. They took first place as they beat Milbank for the championship game. And then Castlewood beat Ortonville to take Castlewood place third place over Ortonville.
Okay. Yeah, good attendance over there for the weekend?
Yes. It was Saturday was a little chilly, but Sunday was you couldn't have any better weather than Sunday was. It was mid 70s, sunny, and it was beautiful turnouts that we had and great weather and good turnout.
All right, so I believe you played Rosen played three games starting Friday, right?
Yep, Rosen played Friday night against Ortonville, and Ortonville ended up beating Rosen. This was a non-league game, and Rosen ended up losing 4-3.
Oh, wow, close game, huh?
Yes. For Rosen, Damian Plotsky, he started on the mound. Damian, if you know anyone, pay attention. Rosen's had Damian Plotsky since he's been on the team for about 14 years and hasn't pitched the last couple of years due to arm problems. But he his girlfriend's nephew plays for the team, so he was really looking forward to that. So he wanted to play against them, and he started for Rosen going four innings. He gave up three hits and three runs. Two of them were earned. He hit a batter, walked three, and struck out four. And kind of looked back. That was the first time he's thrown in about 2.5 years. So
wow.
It's been a while. And then in relief was Evan Ingismo. He threw 2 1/3 innings. Every game you decide the home team by coin flip. So Evan Ingesmo threw 2 1/3, and since Ortonville was the home team, they walked it off. So that's why he only threw 1/3 of an inning.
But, Evan's from Canby, right?
Yep. Rose and we were on the edge of our radius is Canby, so we actually have 3 players that played for Canby's high school team. Evan Ingesmo, Liam MacArthur, and Jay Sigler are the 3 kids from Canby.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Is there rules who can play on your team or where they live and stuff like that? How does that work in the land of Ducks?
In the state of Minnesota, the main rule, the state rule is 30 miles as the crow flies is from home plate. And from so there's dirt in different leagues in the state of Minnesota. It all depends upon the league, the radius. But the state rule is 30 miles, no more than 30 miles.
Okay.
So, and as the crow flies, we can get in the Canby from Rosen.
There you go.
So, which this year it's helped out. All 3 kids of one way, shape, or form helped out Rosen either win a game or had a big moment in the game. So it's worked out well for us.
Talk about the, you mentioned it was a walk-off. Well, what happened there?
In the bottom of the 7th inning, in the tournament we only played 7 innings, but in the bottom of the 7th inning, Tony Shakey hit a home run to walk-off for Ortonville. And kind of a little bit of a fun fact, Mike Shakey, Tony's brother, for Mike plays for Rosen, he hit his first home run, career home run for an Town team for Rosen in the top of the 2nd inning. So the 2 brothers were going at it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not sure how many times that's ever happened that 2 brothers have hit a home run against each other. So
right. Oh, for cool. That's kind of a cool little stat there.
Yeah. Other hitting for the day, Drew Boots had 2 hits for Rosen, which one of them was a double and a stolen base. Liam MacArthur, another Canby kid, had 2 hits on the day. Cole Weinkauf for Rosen had 2 hits. Jay Sigler, another Canby kid, had 2 hits and an RBI. And Mike Shakey had 2 hits, which one of them was a home run and an RBI on the day. And then Evan Ingesmo had a hit, which was a double. So...
Okay. Is Tony Shakey known for hitting home runs?
I believe Tony said he's hit 3 home runs in his lifetime, and 2 of them have been against Rosen. So not the end that we want, but
you guys are all good friends, though, right?
Yes. I mean, after the games, we all hang out and, hang out and have a couple of drinks afterwards, or we're all friends. So, I mean, it all works out in the end. It's kind of half the team from Rosen is from either Madison or Appleton or Ortonville. So it's kind of one of those deals where we really want to win all 3 of those games, but no matter what, after the game, we hang out with them. So
you bet. And that's what amateur baseball is all about, too.
For sure, yes.
Any more on that game Friday night, then?
Nope. Okay. Rosen ended up losing 4-3.
Okay, how about Saturday then?
Saturday, Rosen took on Milbank first thing in the morning Saturday. And Rosen started Devin Boots on the mound. He went 3 innings. He gave up 1 hit, 1 run, which was earned. He walked 1 and struck out 4. And then Mike Shakey came into the game. He allowed 2 hits, 3 runs, which none of them were earned. He walked 1 and struck out 4. Rosen had a few errors there when Mike came in. But then hitting-wise, Drew Boots led the team. Drew Boots had a hit. Preston Kraft had a hit. Caden Mortensen and Evan Ingesmo all had hits. Preston Kraft's lone hit was a double, and he had an RBI, and Caden Mortensen had an RBI. Rosen ended up losing the game 4-2.
Wow, another close one.
Yes, it was kind of a theme for the weekend, as you'll hear soon. Rosen, yeah, ended up so they went 0-2 in our pool play, which led us to the fifth place game on Sunday.
Okay, who was that against?
Rosen ended up playing Montrose Waverly, a team down towards the cities, about 2.5 hours away, right off of 212.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Rosen in that game, Cole Weinkopf led, or he started on the mound for Rosen. He went 6 innings, giving up 5 hits, 3 runs, which 2 of them were earned. He walked 3 and struck out 3. And then Christian Canton came in relief, going 2 innings, giving up 1 hit, 2 runs, which none of them were earned, walking 1 and striking out 2. And then leading the day was Davis Patchard, having 3 hits on the day. Drew Boots had 2 hits. Kaden Mortensen had 2 hits. And Christian Canton had 2 hits, which one of them was a double and 2 RBIs. And Drew Boots also had 2 RBIs. Rosen ended up winning that game 6-5 in 8 innings. So, yep. So what Rosen does in extra innings to kind of speed up the game in extra innings, or after the 7th inning, the last out goes to second base the next inning. So
okay,
kind of gotcha. like the pro rules in MLB, how they kind of speed up the game.
Okay. All right. So good win for you there.
Yeah, it was a pretty good, clean game for the most part. We did a lot of little things right, and Rosen was actually down by 4-2, came back to win it 6-5. So It was a good comeback win.
Good. All right. Well, any more on the Busch Light tournament?
No, yeah, Regal, I appreciate all the teams coming. Regal ended up winning it, which Regal hasn't come to Rosen in a few years, but they had a strong showing there, and they played some good ball players from that New London, Painesville area, and it was a well-ran tournament, and it was a good showing.
Good.
So.
The question I always have is, how much Busch Light did you go through?
That I'm not 100% sure. The dumpsters were full, I know, about the end of the tournament, and a lot of hamburgers were ate. So I know we ran out about noon on Sunday with hamburger, and We always kind of write everything down, how much food we go through. And it was a good time when all the food ran out, and there's the dumpsters were full. So,
well, that's good. It sounds like everybody had a good time. Is there a name for that hamburger? Isn't there a name for that hamburger over there in Rosen?
Not that I know of. Okay. We do make in the mornings breakfast burgers. So we put an egg and some bacon on the one. And Lee Gleggy over at the Bellingham Legion, he does all the grilling for us, and he had a jalapeno burger. So. I know that went over very well. It sounds like that might be coming to the Legion. So, good. Rumor has it.
Awesome. So, Lee does a great job over there and over at the Bellingham Legion, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He's it seems like the Bellingham Legion's always, a lot of people are there, really hopping there. So It's good to see.
Good. And after the Busch Light tournament, Tyler, you played another game, I believe, on Wednesday.
Yes, we did. Rosen traveled up to Dumont to take on the Dumont Saints. It was kind of a slow start to begin with, but then towards the end, Dumont kind of turned it on, and Rosen didn't have much of an answer. But starting for Rosen was Devin Boots. He threw a well game. Started off well. He went 5 innings, giving up 4 hits. Giving up 3 runs, which 2 of them were earned, walking 4 and striking out 2. And then Kaden Mortensen came in, throwing 2 innings, giving up 3 hits, 7 runs, which 5 were earned, walking 6 and striking out 1. And then leading the hitting. Rosen, though it was only one hit, Rosen only had one hit, but only did strike out four times on the day. We just seemed like Rosen, we were hitting the ball well, but we were just hitting it right at people and just wasn't well placed. So Rosen ended up losing the game 10-0.
All right. What do you got coming up this weekend?
This weekend, we just take on Clinton on Sunday, which is a postponement game from the 4th of July. So Sunday at home at 2:30 against Clinton.
Okay, and that's the only game this week then?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Tyler, for the report on the Rosen Express this morning, and we'll talk to you next Saturday then.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Paul.
That's Tyler Ottoman, manager of the Rosen Express. We'll take a commercial break. Come back with more of the Baseball Coaches Show right after this.
When you grow corn or soybeans for a living, you're always looking for the latest advances to help your fields be more profitable. That's why it's time to turn to Channel. When you plant elite Channel seed products, you also get the services of your very own Channel seedsman. You see, your seedsmen work with you year-round to make the most of your operation. For customized service, expert advice, and elite seed products, your local Channel seedsmen are Tron Tossel and Dylan Erickson of Tron Tossel Seeds. Contact Tron at 320-297-0403 or Dylan at 320-269-1250. That's Tron Tossel Seeds, your local Channel seeds dealer.
Hello, this is Andrew Schmidt at Farmers and Merchants State Bank of Appleton. And at Farmers and Merchants State Bank of Appleton, our bank is locally owned and operated. We pride ourselves on customer service and working with our customers to achieve their short and long-term financial goals. Beyond banking, at Farmers and Merchants, we have a full-service insurance agency and real estate team. Please feel free to give us a call and talk with one of our employees regarding any questions you may have at 320-289-1454. Visit us on the web at www.farmers-merchants.com. Farmers and Merchants, you'll find us friendly.
Are you looking for a local concrete professional to manage your next project? Gliggy Concrete in Bellingham is ready to help. Specializing in driveways, basements, foundations, stamped and decorative concrete, shop floors, and epoxy floors, Gliggy will help turn your vision into customized and durable concrete. Contact Gliggy Concrete to discuss options to complete your business or home project. See the outstanding results of their work on their Facebook page or call Casey Gliggy at 320-305-0602.
The next time you need an electrician, call Lane's Electric in Nassau. Lane Dan Zeeson is a master electrician and is ready to go to work on your project, whether it be on your farm, at your business, or in your home. Lane does work in both Minnesota and South Dakota. You can give Lane's Electric a call at 320-226-4988. That's 320-226-4988, or send an email to lanes electric@gmail.com. For prompt, professional, and friendly service, call Lane's Electric, Nassau.
Mid-Minnesota Lumber of Appleton is your Larson Door distributor. Come in to see the new Larson doors and colors. If you are considering remodeling, we are your one-stop lumber yard. Exterior siding, doors and windows, interior cabinets, and more. Lisa is our drafter who will draw the plans for your dream home. Come into Mid-Minnesota Lumber in Appleton and see all the new options.
Welcome back to the Baseball Coaches Show. Let's talk Madison Mallard Baseball with manager Matt Munson. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Paul.
And as I've been asking everyone this morning, how did your 4th of July go?
Oh, 4th of July was good. You know, I guess the weather was maybe left something to be desired here the other day, but yesterday turned out to be a very nice day.
Yep, and it looks like, well, this morning's pretty nice, too. At least the sun's shining.
Yeah, this morning's a very nice day. I'm sure some people will still be doing some 4th of July festivities today. Hopefully there's good weather for it. Don't need any more rain, that's for sure.
That's right. Last night I was over in Watertown for the fireworks display, and that was absolutely amazing. Huge fireworks display in Watertown, and that made me feel like it was the 4th of July, let me tell you.
Yeah. Was that one supposed to be on the 4th, too?
Yep, they postponed it and moved it to last night, and there's a lot of people there.
Yep, no, very cool.
Good. All right, let's. I know you didn't have a game to talk about, but I thought we'd just have you on and maybe go through your roster and talk about some of the guys. And also, coming up for the Mallards, you got two huge events next week. We want to take some time and talk about that, too. So Matt, who's on the Madison Mallard roster this summer?
Yep. So, yeah, I'll go over the roster here. Brandon Hill, you know, he's been traveling quite a bit from the Alexandria, Glenwood area, playing infield, outfield, and pitching whenever we need him to. Matt Inger continues to drive down from the Detroit Lakes area, does a lot of catching for us, but he's also been DHing, playing some other spots in the field just to get him, other guys some opportunities to catch. Evan Kells, he's living over in Appleton. He's made quite a few games this year, playing a lot of third base for us, and for his old age, continues to hit the ball very well. You got Wyatt Halverson. I think he's playing his second year with the Mallards. He plays third base for us, second base, outfield, whenever we need him to. Also pitches. He did get married a few weeks ago, so we've been kind of planning some games around that. So if you're listening, congratulations, Wyatt. You got Brandon Bornhorst, continues to be one of our stronger pitchers, always works fast. Everyone likes to play behind him and continues to do a very good job. Avery Whitnabel, he started pitching a few more games for us this year, actually getting more starts on the mound versus relief pitching. Nice left-handed pitcher to have, been throwing very well. We have Caden Fernals, who's also managing the Legion team. He's been playing primarily outfield for us, but doing very well. Then we got Blake Wolfsauger. I believe he's also assisting Caden with the Legion team this year. Playing a lot of first base for us. Good hitter. Also been doing some relief pitching, and another left-handed arm that we have out of the bullpen. Landon Sherm, he's been playing a lot of center field for us. Very good bat, very quick. It's nice to have a leadoff hitter with his capabilities, because just seems like every time he gets on base, we can pretty much be assured that we're going to steal him over to second. So we got Dylan Geiser, Dylan Keimig, Tyler Earp, Matt Arndt, Nolan Smith. Those guys are high schoolers and junior Legion are Legion players, so they haven't spent a lot of time playing for the Mallards this year, especially with how long the high school season dragged on. But it's nice to have those guys. And then we got Carter Hamlin. He has been a really big bat for us this year. Good infielder. I think he only played maybe one or two games for the Mallards last year, and then he was off for his internship and wasn't around. So it's like he was a new pickup for us, and it's worked out really well. And then we got Dylan Lilliard from Madison. He is playing his first year with the Mallards. Been a very good addition, very nice bat, good outfielder. But what's impressed me about Dylan has been his catching abilities. So been able to give Matt Inger more breaks on the weekend and have Dylan catch. He can handle Avery Whitnabel really well, so good addition, nice to have him. So I'm certain that I missed some guys on the roster, but that's primarily the most of them right there.
All right. Sounds like a pretty good roster of veterans and young guys.
Yep, yeah, a really good mix. Yeah, I don't know how many there are, over 35 right now, but there's probably three or four of us that are getting older, and times are probably starting to wind down or come to an end, so
yeah.
It's nice to fill up the team with younger guys too. And you know, it's nice about our team, you know, although we've had quite a few games this year with 10, 11 guys, just because of various events going on, but you know, we have a lot of guys that just love baseball, love being around, like to be around each other, so makes it really nice.
All right, Matt, you got two huge events coming up this week. Why don't you tell us about them?
Yeah, a couple big events. So first on Wednesday, it is Chamber Night at the ballpark. It's an event that the Chamber had put on or organized with the Mallards last year. A lot of neighboring communities do something similar, but it was very successful, brought a lot of people to the ballpark. So basically just looking to replicate that. We do play the Dawson Drakes that evening at 7:30. And I believe, I don't think it's on the schedule, but I do believe there is a 7th and 8th grade game before that, starting at 5 o'clock. So there will be two games that day. The chamber gives away free ice cream. There's giveaways every inning. We're also going to have a mascot race. So if you know of anyone, Paul, or if anyone's listening wants to participate in that mascot race, please reach out. So,
well, I know you made the major. You made the major leagues 1 year in a mascot race at Target Field. Tell us about that, Matt.
Well, yeah, that's just one of my hidden talents, Paul. when we used to have a season ticket plan for the Twins, you got to do some fun stuff once in a while, and one of the things I was invited to do was participate in the mascot race, and I guess I got the pleasure of winning it and being recorded and posted on Facebook. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Is that when you knocked over TC Bear? Or?
No, I did not go over TC Bear. They're pretty adamant that you don't keep running out of the field, though, so they kind of stop you right away as soon as the race is done.
Yeah. But I remember that.
It's a lot of fun, so if anyone is listening and wants to participate, just let me know. Probably lasts about 20 seconds to run. It's not very long. Yeah, it's something that's memorable.
Who won it last year? The blue...
I can't remember. Was that when they debuted the blue freeze or frost or whatever the heck?
The blue some was. Somebody.
The blue something. Yeah. I think he came in at the end. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any new mascots, but we never know. We could probably... The chamber probably needs to get a new Ludafisk mascot
there
for
go.
People to run it.
Yeah. And I think Madison Chamber businesses, they're giving away a lot of prizes each inning, a lot of prizes between innings, and I guess there's you return a foul ball, you get a buck.
Yep, and yeah, I can't remember.
That's sponsored by Ron Slimmer Nelson Memorial for that.
Okay, Ron Slimmer Nelson Memorial, so we thank them for doing that, but yeah, it'll be a $1 foul ball, so it's nice when you get them all returned, and yeah, it should just be a great evening. Last year was a lot of fun, brought a lot of people, so I'm assuming that we'll replicate that here this Wednesday. And, you know, Madison Baseball, we're also selling raffle tickets for our cash raffle. That drawing is Wednesday night, so if you're interested in tickets, everyone can continue to purchase them at the concession stand. So should be a great evening.
That's this Wednesday, and you'll hear that baseball game right here on Q92 as well. And then next Saturday, another big event.
Yep, next Saturday, another big event. You know, we always try to, you know, play in town during Dragon Fest. It doesn't really work out that way all the time. And then trying to find a good time to play because you want to accommodate all the other events. But, yeah, so Saturday, July 13th, starting at 2:30, we welcome Rosen to town. And it's also Dick Newman Day at the ballpark. So, we plan on honoring Dick for everything he's done for Madison baseball and our community over all these years, and should be a great day for that as well.
Yeah, I know most of his family will be here too, and Dick has dedicated many years of service to that baseball field, and the biggest thing is I don't think a lot of people realize this. It was the funding or the fundraising that he's done. I don't know how many thousands and thousands of dollars he's got in for fundraising. That's a big part of what Dick has done, attributed to the Madison Memorial Baseball Field as well.
Yep, and it's not just the improvements that we just recently have done the last couple of years. You know, the funding for fixing up Madison Memorial Field has been going on for 20 plus years, and Dick's been part of that the whole way. In addition to all the coaching he's done over the years and the umpiring and just mentoring. So communities to be successful with their baseball programs need guys like Dick Newman. And, yeah, we're fortunate to have him helping for a very long time and fortunate to have his continued help.
That's right. He was my baseball assistant coach when I was in high school. So we go back a long ways. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I know I think he was our head coach of our JV team or one of the teams back when I was in school 20-plus years ago. So.
Yeah, I plan on interviewing Dick sometime this week, and we'll play that and go over. He's coached so many teams, baseball teams, Little League, Summer Rec. I know he's Summer Rec for many years with my kids. We're going. Yeah, so mark that on your calendar next Saturday, July 13th. Madison and Rosen, I think it was 2 o'clock start there. I got information there, Matt. So,
2 or 2:30. I don't know. I was just looking at the calendar, and I saw that it was 2:30. So I'll have to check back and look and confirm those times with everybody.
All right. Well, that wraps up the Madison Mallards. Matt, thanks for coming on this morning.
Yep, thanks. Well, I guess one more plug. But Sunday, July 14th, will be our Madison Mallards alumni game. So if anyone is interested in that, that's a week away. First time we're doing that, but that should be a fun game as well. We welcome about 30 Mallards alumni back to play a game.
Oh, so yeah, we can't forget about that. That's the next day after Dick Newman Day, the next day, right?
Yep. So a really full schedule down at the ballpark for three out of 5 days starting on next Wednesday.
How many Madison Mallard alumni do you have coming?
It's a little over 30. You know,
wow.
If you look at the names, most are right around Madison. There's maybe a small handful that are traveling from the cities or further up north.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Matt Munson. Yep, Matt Munson of the Madison Mallards will take a commercial break and be back with wrapping up the Baseball Coaches Show right after this.
You have a lot of time and money invested in your animals. Now treat them right with the help of Madison Hardware Hank. They're your one-stop shop for chicken feed, including meat bird feed, layer feed, and chick starter. Do you have horses? Madison Hardware Hank can help you there, too, with horse feed, alfalfa pellets, sweet feed, and bedding. Stop in today to Madison Hardware Hank. Talk with Isaac, Carolyn, and the gang for the feed you need to keep those animals healthy and growing. They're located right on Madison's Main Street. Madison Hardware Hank.
Livestock Systems of Dawson would like to remind area livestock producers that they are your livestock equipment specialists. Whether you raise hogs, cattle, or sheep, they have what you need. Used equipment available too. Livestock Systems of Dawson can repair concrete in your livestock barns. They carry air filter cleaners, tow ropes, American-made steel for shops, garages, barns, and more with a 45-year warranty. And see them for your livestock ventilation and plumbing needs. They have an insulation machine that sucks out the old insulation, and they can install brand new insulation into your livestock barns. Livestock Systems of Dawson, owned and operated by Randy and Jody Mosing. Call 320-769-2564, DawsonEngineeringMN.com.
The Madison Area Chamber of Commerce presents Chamber Night at the Ballpark. Admission is absolutely free on Wednesday, July 10th, as the Madison Mallards take on the Dawson Drakes. First pitch at 7:30 p.m. at Madison Memorial Field. There'll be free ice cream sundaes, a mascot race. They'll be giving away prizes each inning, merchandise donated by Madison Area Chamber members. Kids interested in lining up with the Mallards during the national anthem should arrive by 7:15 p.m. Let's play ball during Chamber Night at the Ballpark, happening Wednesday, July 10th in Madison.
Rural Solutions Technology Center wants to help you with all of your home and business technology needs. We've been serving individuals, businesses, and schools for over 20 years and have seen many changes, but one thing remains constant: our desire to make technology easy for you. With the rapid pace of change in the tech world, you can trust in us to provide you with up-to-date and reliable products and services. Stop by our shop on Main Street, Madison, where we offer home computer repair and sales of computers and printers. Or contact us to schedule a service call, and we'll come to your home or business. Call us at 320-698-4747 or email support@ruralsolutions.com. Rural Solutions Incorporated, your local technology professionals.
Paul Ramel back here in the studio, wrapping up the Baseball Coaches Show. Unable to get a hold of Caden Fernals this morning of the Madison Legion team, so we'll have a report on Madison Legion next Saturday. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great day. Thanks for listening to the Saturday Morning Baseball Coaches Show here on Q92. Tune in next week at 9 o'clock with more interviews with area baseball coaches right here on Q92. See you next Saturday morning. Have a great day. Yeah.
It's 9:56. Great music for Gary, Clear Lake, and Millbank, South Dakota on Q92 KLQP-FM.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? I'll play along with the charade. There doesn't seem to be a reason to change. You know, I feel so dirty when they start talking cute. I wanna tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot. Cause she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving him with that body, I just know it.